It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Not only is the president looking to take away Brennan's security clearance, he's also looking into the clearances of Comey, Clapper, Hayden, Rice, and McCabe. The president is exploring the mechanisms to remove security clearance because they've politicized and in some cases monetized their public service and security clearances, making baseless accusations of improper contact with Russia or being influenced by Russia against the president is extremely inappropriate.
All right, so that's the boom that came yesterday. That was Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Don't you love her? I do. Lowering the boom in the press conference yesterday about removing the security clearances from the people that she just described. You know, I was in my head before that clip played trying to recall the people's names so I could tell, you know, just repeat it to you. And I was thinking, all right, John Brennan, James Clapper, James Comey, Michael Hayden. And then I was just thinking, okay, now what did they do? John Brennan was the CIA director. James Clapper was the head of the DNI, Defense National Intelligence. Comey was the director of the FBI. Michael Hayden is the former DNI director. The highest levels of our security apparatus. Susan Rice was the head of national security for the president, President Obama. All of them working together, speaking of collusion, to destroy a man and his family and undermine a country because they wanted Hillary Clinton to be the next president, because they wanted the left's priorities, policies to overtake until it's just too late. And I think they thought they had it. They thought that we were over the hump. They were going to take it this time and go for the gold, and they lost. But imagine that. The CIA director, the Defense National Intelligence director, the FBI director, this national security director for the president, all of them working together. I think, methinks, that might be collusion. Catherine Herridge had a good report about it last night, so let me let you hear from her before I fill in more blanks. Here it is.
The announcement from the White House podium this afternoon, mostly impacting senior intelligence and law enforcement officials from the Obama administration, stunned reporters.
Not only is the president looking to take away Brennan's security clearance, he's also looking into the clearances of Comey, Clapper, Hayden, Rice, and McCabe.
That's former CIA Director John Brennan, former FBI Director James Comey, former top spy Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, former CIA Director Michael Hayden, former National Security Advisor Susan Rice, as well as former Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe.
The president is exploring the mechanisms to remove security clearance because they've politicized and in some cases monetized their public service and security clearances.
The issue came up at the briefing after Republican Senator Rand Paul tweeted that he would ask President Trump to pull Brennan's clearance. After the Helsinki summit, Brennan tweeted that the president's actions were treacherous,
making baseless accusations of improper contact with Russia or being influenced by Russia against the president is extremely inappropriate. And the fact that people with security clearances are making these baseless charges provides inappropriate legitimacy to accusations with zero evidence.
In a tweet, former CIA Director Michael Hayden seemed to brush off the threat, writing, "I don't go back for classified briefings. Won't have any effect on what I say or write." Clapper said, "It's kind of a sad commentary for political reasons." A friend of Comey's asked the former FBI director whether he even has a security clearance to revoke, and Comey replied, "Nope." A spokeswoman for McCabe, who was fired earlier this year, said her client's clearance was already deactivated.
This strikes me as a way of lashing out at the president's critics, but, you know, that's part of the job, is to defend your positions, but attacking them this way seems to me to set a pretty dangerous precedent.
Very interesting. You know, remember Adam Lovinger that we interviewed probably a month ago? Adam is a young guy. Actually, he's a very successful person. He was with the Pentagon, and he was doing incredible work. He was one of, you know, a guy who had he wanted things to be right, and he exposed some things that weren't right in the Pentagon. So they came after him with a vengeance, and the first thing that they did, he was brought to the White House to serve President Trump. They took away his security clearance. He still doesn't have it, and he has been in limbo now since President Trump got in office, and he has small children. He lost his job. I'm trying to tell you that the left uses security clearances as weapons all the time. That's what they're acting. They're so appalled. They're so appalled. But now, this is not retribution. This is justice. How in the world could we trust these men to have access to our highest level secrets, given that they are now contributors to CNN, MSNBC? And yes, they do have access to top secret information, regardless of what they just told you. By virtue of having those clearances, they can receive briefings. If they don't have to go to the briefing room, they can be told, and it's not illegal. So this gives them the imprimatur to write books, to do television interviews, and to undermine the government, which is what they've been doing. So it's not about the fact that they hate Donald Trump. That's part of it. That's only part of it. That's one of the things that bothered me last night. I heard on The Five this montage of things that Brennan and Clapper and Comey had said, criticizing the president. Okay, that's bad. Certainly Brennan calling him a traitor is committing treason. It's ridiculous, and that is dangerous. But some of the other, just the criticisms, that's bad enough. But the point is that they have used their access and used their positions to subvert the American government and the way it works. Its natural election process, the election of a president by the people, they wanted to subvert that. They went about the mission of stopping that, destroying that candidate and his family and anyone associated with him so that their favorite candidate, Mrs. Clinton, could win. This is just appalling, and that's why they deserve more than losing their security clearances. Jim Jordan weighed in on it last night. Let's listen. Clip 6.
Brennan leaked the information to Harry Reid. Rice goes on TV after Benghazi and lies on 5 different networks about the cause, the catalyst of the attack in Benghazi. Clapper lied under oath. Comey leaked information through a friend to create momentum for a special counsel. McCabe lied 3 times under oath, faces a criminal referral. And we know Peter Strzok isn't telling the truth because he couldn't even admit that there was bias in his statements in his text messages to Lisa Page in the committee hearing 2 weeks ago. So the president is fighting back just like he should. And what we also know is this past weekend, everything that we saw in this FISA application confirms what we've all been saying for 7 months.
All right, so that's an important point because remember when the Republican, the majority in the House Intelligence Committee released that report on what was going on, and Adam Schiff said it was nonsense, and, you know, he's Mr. Wild Eyes. And so then the Democrats came out with their own report and refuted what the Republicans had said. And, of course, the release of that FISA application, even though it was 2/3 redacted, illustrated that the Republicans led by Devin Nunes on the House Intelligence Committee were spot on in every single way. So that's what Jim was referring to, and also, of course, to what Brennan and Clapper and Comey have done. That deserve to lose their clearances and much more. By the way, there Andy McCarthy wrote an interesting article yesterday, kind of summarizing. Andy, you know, he's been a frequent guest with us. I've known Andy for years. Andy, of course, was very good friends with James Comey and also with Bob Mueller. And for a long time, Andy's a very honest man. And he's just got so much integrity. I would give anything if President Trump would nominate him for something. Head of the FBI, I'd start with that. Andy has written an article kind of, he's talking about how he was wrong. He's really sick at heart about what he has found, and it's taken him some time to come around. And he's done, in his writings, he said these were personal friends. But he sort of lays it out in this most recent article, and we're going to put that on our Facebook page. It's the FBI relied on the unverified Steele dossier. That's at the beginning of its FISA applications confirm the FBI relied on the unverified Steele dossier. So that's Andy's kind of summation of that unverified, well, the FISA warrant that was made public yesterday. All right, so here, how about some good news? This is good news. North Korea began dismantling its main missile engine test site. There's satellite images indicating that. In fact, I'll read what the company that is monitoring the site said. New commercial satellite imagery of the Sohae satellite launching station has begun dismantling indicates that the DPRK, that's North Korea, has begun dismantling key facilities, including the rail-mounted processing building and the nearby rocket engine test. Now, that's amazing. That's very amazing, since we've been told, you know, that nothing has happened. And by the way, President Trump tweeted yesterday, a rocket has not been launched by North Korea in 9 months. Likewise, no nuclear tests. Japan is happy. All of Asia is happy. But the fake news is saying, without ever asking me, always anonymous sources, that I am angry because it's not going fast enough. Wrong. Very happy. So that's interesting because you know now, this is what the media is saying. North Korea, the meeting with Kim Jong-un was so silly. There's nothing has come from it now. And of course, then yesterday when President Trump tweeted in all caps to President Rouhani of Iran, never, ever threaten the United States again or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious. So, of course, the usuals. I don't even pull the clips because I'm sick of their hysteria. Can you just imagine? I could open the phone lines and you could, you know, think of something yourself. If you were a current news announcer, how you would respond to that. He's out of his mind. He's a warmonger. He's going to get us. What is he doing? Or the mockery therein, on the other side of it. I didn't even want to play that. But it's interesting to me that juxtaposed with that is the story that North Korea is indeed dismantling. That doesn't mean it's the end of it. It's the beginning of it. And we have to follow through. But they are doing something in response to the meeting. And so it shows you that President Trump has struck the right chord internationally with our foes. He just has. There was a great report last night on Fox by Jillian Turner. I think we have time for most of it. Let's play it. Let's clip three.
If anybody is inciting anything, look no further than to Iran.
What seemed like a battle has now exploded into a full-on war of words between Washington and Tehran. Yesterday, Iranian President Rouhani issued words of warning to the U.S. that, quote, war with Iran is the mother of all wars.
Mr. Trump, don't play with the lion's tail. This would only lead to regret. You will forever regret it.
His comments earned an all-caps presidential tweet. Never, ever threaten the United States again or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious. And just a short while ago, Iran's foreign minister jumped into the fray with a tweet of his own. Color us unimpressed. We've been around for millennia and seen fall of empires, including our own, which lasted more than the life of some countries. Be cautious. A few hours after President Rouhani's comments yesterday, Secretary Pompeo delivered a highly anticipated speech at the Reagan Library. He upped the ante by accusing Iran's government of sponsoring terrorism around the world and had this message for the Iranian people.
This tells you everything you need to know about the regime. At the same time, they're trying to convince Europe to stay in the nuclear deal. They're covertly plotting terrorist attacks in the heart of Europe.
He also focused on corruption, accusing Iran's supreme leader, the head of state and religion, of operating a $95 billion hedge fund. He also took care during his remarks to distinguish between America's dislike of the Iranian government and its respect and goodwill towards the Iranian people.
All right, I'm going to have to interrupt Jillian, but you can understand Ali. Why the burner is turning up for the Iranians. And I find it interesting, their response was actually pretty mild. Something about their history and that they've seen countries come and fall. Be cautious. So trust me, that's a mild response. It wasn't death to America in response. So I think it's already having its effect. That's my unscientific analysis of that. All right, coming up next, we're going to discuss something that was came across in the Strzok hearings that no one has talked about, and we're going to talk about it. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. Just hit **345. That's **345. **345.
Len Ingram of Redeem Clean felt God call him to support the American Family Association.
I'm a laundryman. I'm the son of a laundryman too. I love clean clothes. I love the business. I love everything about it. This project was built exclusively to support AFA and AFR. There's no strings attached. Another thing that I would like to see come out of this is that I would like to see other business people feel a calling to support ministries wherever and whatever they do to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and get Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TME. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TME. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Federal Judge R. Brooke Jackson ruled a Colorado school district violated the law by promoting a Christian group's mission trip to Central America. The American Humanist Association had filed suit against the Douglas County School District in 2014. An unnamed parent had objected to the school district's promotion of a mission trip by a local high school's chapter of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. The court ruled the school district's actions were an excessive government entanglement with religion and that the district had supported an overtly Christian cause. Well, what other kind of cause would the Fellowship of Christian Athletes be supporting? Only a group of atheists would be offended by Christian teenagers helping the less fortunate. And only a federal judge appointed by President Obama would say giving kids a bottle of shampoo in the name of Jesus is against the law. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Anybody remember that testimony of Peter Strzok, FBI agent, former? Well, no, he is still. Oh, yes, he is still there. FBI agent Peter Strzok testifying before the House committees and just the most incredible peak and arrogance. It was just an amazing display. It really was. We played a lot of it. You heard it. You saw it. But you might not remember this particular exchange between he and Louie Gohmert. Now, the part about if he was lying to Congressman Gohmert and the committee, like he lied to his wife when he lied about his lover, Lisa Page. That's not the part that I am emphasizing. It's the other part, and I want you to listen to it. Here it is.
The intelligence community, Inspector General Chuck McCulloch, sent his investigator, Frank Rucker, along with an ICIG attorney, Jeanette McMillan, to brief you and Dean Chappelle and two other FBI personnel that I won't name at this time about an anomaly they had found on Hillary Clinton's emails that were going to and from the private unauthorized server that you were supposed to be investigating. Now, do you remember it?
I remember meeting Mr. Rucker
on either one or two occasions. I do not remember the specific content or discussions.
Well, I'll help you with that too then. Mr. Rucker reported to those of you, the four of you there, in the presence of the IC, IG, attorney, that they had found this anomaly on Hillary Clinton's emails going through a private server. And when they had done the forensic analysis, they found that her emails, every single one except for four, over 30,000 of them, were going to an address that was not on the distribution list. It was a compartmentalized bit of information that was sending it to an unauthorized source. Do you recall that?
Sir, I don't.
Well, but he went on to explain it, and you didn't say anything.
No.
You thanked him. You shook his hand. But the problem was that it was going to an unauthorized source that was a foreign entity unrelated to Russia. And from what you've said here, you did nothing more than nod and shake the man's hand when you didn't seem to be all that concerned about our national integrity of our election when it was involving Hillary Clinton.
All right, pal, that was Louis Gohmert doing what only he can do. Well, what was that all about, and why has there been no discussion of it? Have you heard any discussion of it? Don't you think that's kind of a big deal? I think it's a very big deal. And so Hans von Spakovsky joins us this morning. Hans, of course, is with Heritage. He's the manager of their election law reform initiative and also senior legal fellow. Hans, thanks for joining us.
Sure, Sandy.
Hey, all right. So an anomaly? I mean, explain further expand what Louis was talking about. What is he actually speaking about?
Well, it's pretty clear he was saying that the intelligence community, IG, found that there was some kind of what people call malware that had been inserted into Hillary Clinton's home server that was sending copies of all of her communications outside of the United States to a foreign entity, and it wasn't Russia. They don't say who it was. I suspect it may have been the Chinese. They're the most likely culprit because the Chinese have a hacker unit within their own military that has been targeting the U.S. for quite a while. But the point here is that, look, this was the biggest bombshell that came out of the 9 hours of testimony of Peter Strzok, and it got almost no coverage. What this means is that when Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State, all her communications with her top aides, with the department's leadership, ambassadors, including officials like President Obama, were being read by some foreign entity, which means that all of the confidential and sensitive discussions of foreign policy, strategy, even classified information, were all going outside of the country. This is like one of the biggest security breaches at the State Department, actually in the U.S. government, in a very long time, and it got no attention.
You know, Hans, and the other thing just occurs to me, there was such a long battle, which I don't think we won, to help people understand why it was a problem that Mrs. Clinton had a separate server and a separate email account. You know, I think people in Washington are closer to this and have a more of an inherent understanding of that. But this is like Exhibit A of why that's a really, really bad idea. And that's what she did, and she willingly did it, knowingly. I don't mean willingly sent them to foreign power. I don't know. Do we know? I don't know. But at least it did happen, and it happened because she had a server outside of the government-secured system.
Right, and it clearly didn't have anywhere close to the kind of minimal security protocols that needed to be there, the kind that the State Department, the Pentagon have. But look, here's the other thing that I just found astonishing, was that, look, Gohmert's questions indicate that the IG came over, his people came over and briefed Peter Strzok about this. People need to remember, Peter Strzok was the deputy assistant director for the counterintelligence division of the FBI. Now, here he's briefed and told that there's a major security breach at the State Department, and yet he says, well, I remember meeting with these people, but I don't remember what the subject was. That is unbelievable. He should have, I don't know how he could not remember this, and obviously if he didn't remember it, he clearly didn't take any of the steps necessary to thoroughly investigate this, see how much damage was done, notify all the different people within the government that their communications have been compromised. You know, either Peter Strzok was a complete incompetent at his job, and that's a terrible thing, to think that the head of the counterintelligence division at the FBI is incompetent, or he's a competent guy, but he knew that if he made a big deal about this and it became widespread knowledge throughout the government of this huge security breach caused by Hillary Clinton and her home computer, well, gosh, that might affect her run for the presidency. You know, this occurred in 2016, this briefing, and he was pro-Clinton, so he didn't want that to happen. Either one of those scenarios is terrible. I just don't understand why he is still employed by the FBI.
Neither do I. And I don't understand Christopher Wray's light-fingered handling of all of this, apologies for all of them, covering. It's just, he's supposed to be the new director, and he has been, to me, Hans, so disappointing. Unbelievable. He's just guarding the hen house, you know? That's what it seems like to me, just trying to protect them. You know, the second part of Michael Horowitz, the inspector general's second part is what involves him. He released his report, and of course, there were a lot of fascinating things in there, and thank God for the work that he's done. But one troubling part of it is, and by the way, I'm reading from Hans's recent article in the Daily Signal, the Clinton State Department's major security breach that everyone is ignoring. And we'll put that on our Facebook page so that you can read this and share it with others. But Horowitz, in his recent report regarding the Clinton email server investigation, said the FBI did not find evidence confirming that Clinton's email server systems were compromised by cyber means. So Michael Horowitz declared that something like this had not happened. What happened with, what's his part in this?
Well, in fact, that was the other very disturbing bit of information that came out of the exchange between Gohmert and Representative Gohmert and Peter Strzok, was that Gohmert said that the Inspector General for the intelligence community, actually his office called Michael Horowitz, who's the Inspector General for the Department of Justice, four times because it wanted to brief Horowitz about their forensic analysis and what they'd found, and Horowitz never called the intelligence IG's office back. So, you know, the information that the intelligence IG had about this obviously never made it into the DOJ Inspector General's report about the Clinton investigation.
You know, we've watched movies our whole lives about privileged people having crimes covered up, or, you know, having the resources and the contacts to buy people off. I don't think I've ever read a crime drama or seen, you know, a British spy novel where someone like got around so many things so easily as Bill and Hillary Clinton. It's just stunning, Hans. It's stunning, the reach of the Clintons and the ability that they have to stop the flow of information and to get people to be so loyal to them that they would actually put their own careers at risk. And sometimes risk their lives. I don't understand that mystique.
Yeah, I don't either, but it's really true. They have basically sailed through all of these scandals for years, and the last one obviously was the Clinton email scandal. I want to remind people that under federal law, you can be prosecuted if you recklessly handle classified information. And it's pretty clear that Hillary Clinton, contrary to what James Comey said, was reckless in setting up a home computer server and running classified material through it. She could have been and should have been prosecuted. And, of course, James Comey said, oh, no prosecutor would take the case. Well, we know that's totally false. Because, I remind folks, people probably forget this, but look, John Deutsch, who was the head of the CIA during the Bill Clinton administration, was pardoned by Bill Clinton on one of his last days in office. Why? He was about to agree to a plea deal with the U.S. Department of Justice for what? For keeping classified materials on his unsecure home computer. Does that sound familiar?
Oh, I did not know that story. Yes, it sounds familiar. That's amazing. You know, I need to say, Hans, that you were with the Justice Department for a number of years, and you have certainly knowledge and expertise that others don't have. And so I want to ask you, I think the American people are actually quite discouraged that they haven't seen more justice done to any of these people. And they feel disheartened. They wonder if anything's happening at justice. Will anything happen to any of these people? Will they be held to account? I just would love to know what you think about that.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm kind of pessimistic about that. You know, part of the problem is the Democrats have been really good in the U.S. Senate at keeping nominees from getting into the Justice Department. I mean, I'll give you a quick example of this. Yeah, Jeff Sessions is there, but the Justice Department is a huge department. He can't run it by himself. Look, there are four major divisions at the Justice Department, including the criminal division, which is responsible for, you know, law and order all over the country. The four nominees that President Trump sent over to head up those four major divisions have been sitting in the Senate for more than a year. Only about a week or two ago, finally, they confirmed the guy who's now the head of the criminal division. But the other three divisions, those folks, they're still leaderless.
Wasn't Cory Booker holding up those nominations for a long time?
Yes, yeah, he was. He's one of the reasons the head of the criminal division didn't come in. But, you know, another guy who was nominated by the president, a really good guy, to head up the civil rights division, his name is Eric Dryband. Look, we got a midterm election coming up. It's the civil rights division that's responsible for enforcing the Voting Rights Act and other laws regarding voting. And yet, Eric Dryband's nomination has been sitting in the U.S. Senate for more than a year without any movement.
I'm going to throw a real easy question to you, Hans. The other expertise that you have, of course, is following elections. You were on the President's Election Commission before it was sabotaged. And we have a primary coming up, 2018. Very important. I talk about it all the time. But I would be curious to know, if I just ask you a simple question, what effect, how can the American, there is something the American people can do. How would this election affect what we're talking about here, this breakdown in Congress, this logjam in the Justice Department, and much more?
Well, look, one of the biggest problems in the U.S. Senate, particularly with nominations, is that the Republicans only have 51 senators, and they have one senator, as you know, John McCain, who hasn't been there in months and isn't going to be there. So really, it's very difficult for them to get people through when the Democrats are putting up a fight. They need a bigger majority to be able to get these nominees confirmed. And that includes, by the way, judges, because we constantly see these liberal Obama-appointed judges all over the country, federal judges, just doing really, really bad things. And we need to get a lot of vacancies filled in the federal courts with conservatives.
You know, I would add to it, Hans, that in the House, the races matter so much because personally I believe there needs to be a new speaker, and I think it should be Jim Jordan. And if we had a proper speaker, we would have committees that would actually truly investigate. I think the committees
right.
This past year or two have really been investigating, but they don't have authority because they have a weak speaker. And we need a strong speaker in there to do their part in the House to do these investigations. And I think if we see that happen, a lot will change. So I turn it back to listeners. The 2018 elections coming up are so important. And I'm trusting that you're taking responsibility to figure out when the primary is in your state, you're investigating candidates, and that you're going to vote. Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundations. Hans, thanks so much this morning.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
We can talk to you soon. All right. Don't go away. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. In an interview with the far-left outfit, Democracy Now!, Democrat candidate for New York's 14th District Congressional seat and soon-to-be Congresswoman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, lamented the fact that people are disappointed when candidates like her don't have fully formed opinions or otherwise understand the issues they discuss publicly. She said this after being unable to articulate a cogent position on Middle East policy concerning Israel. It would almost be funny if she wasn't headed to Washington, D.C. to deliberate and vote on pretty important issues like the federal budget and stuff like that.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
As followers of Christ, we've become new creations. The mistakes of our past have been washed away. Listen this week as Alistair Begg teaches from 1 Corinthians about our old sin nature and our new kingdom status. That's Monday through Friday on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Who is God?
What's He like?
How can we know?
Your answer to these questions will impact your worship, discipleship, apologetics, and evangelism. Learn from Ravi Zacharias, Josh McDowell, Chip Ingram, and more than 60 other speakers at Southern Evangelical Seminary's 25th Annual National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 12th and 13th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Get the early bird discount when you register by August 1st at ses.edu.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Critics of President Trump's decision to withdraw from the appallingly bad Obama bomb deal with Iran often insisted that there was no plan B. In recent days, the reality and potential impact of an actual Trump alternative to underwriting and otherwise legitimating the Ayatollah's nuclear ambitions are coming into focus. The President and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo have taken turns denouncing the corrupt Sharia supremacist regime in Tehran in the strongest possible terms. They have warned against any Iranian warlike action, and they are intensifying sanctions that have contributed to the collapse of Iran's currency and growing opposition to the mullahs. Instead of appeasing, enriching, and enabling the danger posed by our Iranian enemies, Donald Trump is taking steps to put them out of business. He deserves credit for devising and executing a plan B for ending the threat from Iran. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All righty, Sandy Rios back with you. One thing we did not get a chance to discuss this morning, you surely must have heard about this. If you didn't, I want you to hear it. Judge Jeanine Pirro, who's a lot of our favorites, she's just a little dynamo. And you have to know, Judge Jeanine's about 5 feet tall or less. She's little. And she doesn't look that on television, but she's a small lady, cute as a button. But she, and a powerhouse, brilliant. She's a Fox News host on Saturday nights, I believe. And honestly, I hardly ever watch it. It's just not the right time for me. But I love Judge Jeanine. You know, we don't agree on everything, but I really like her as a person. She was on The View, and this is really interesting. She has a brand new book, and by the way, she'll be with us this Friday to talk about it. She was on the panel, and Whoopi Goldberg was sitting, of course, at the end of the table, I guess where she always sits. The View is another show I don't spend my time watching, except clips occasionally, because it just annoys me. I always wonder what women are doing with their time. Yeah, why aren't they spending it on better things than watching something like that? But they do, and maybe you do too. Yeah, it's entertaining. You know, can I just interject that we must use our minds with care? We have limited time on this earth. And the things that we put into our minds, I'm talking to myself too, the things that we waste our time thinking about, filling our minds with, it matters. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And by the way, you can control what you think about, and you can control what you take in. And so, all right, but that in the case, Judge Jeanine comes to promote her book. So she's sitting in the panel, Whoopi on the far left, and the others' names, I don't even know who they are, except for John McCain's daughter, Megan. Joy Behar was not there. Okay, so it goes like this.
We are back with Judge Jeanine Pirro. I wanted to get into the book a little. You tackle the anti-Trump conspiracy in your new book called Liars, Leakers, and Liberals. Now, that title could be offensive to some.
In today's age, you think?
I thought she was describing the Trump White House. Liars, leakers, and liberals.
And why you wrote the book?
Well, I wrote the book because I'm not an ideologue. I mean, I have been in the crime business for over 3 decades, and I think I said that before. And I know a con when I see it. And I think that what has happened in the last, truly in the last campaign, and everybody needs to be concerned about that. Lady Justice is supposed to be blind. And when you start creating fake investigations, fake counterintelligence, you saw it yourself with Peter Strzok, who comes out and basically says he hates the president and he's going to take care of everything. They then go to a judge and get a warrant. That's a problem for me, and it should be a problem.
Can I ask you? You just said
your warrant. Look, I've been a judge. I've signed those things. The warrant was based on a fake document by an opposing candidate in a national presidential race. This is what happens in third world countries.
It was not only based on that, and you know that.
I do know. So it is based
on. You just said you're not an ideologue.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I am in law enforcement.
Let me ask you the question.
It's right and wrong.
Do you think Donald Trump embraces and embodies conservative ideology? Remember, he used to be had a different position on pro-choice. He's imposing tariffs. He's against globalism. Do you think he is an ideologue that is faithful to conservative policies?
You know, I'm not here to talk about what Donald Trump is and isn't.
But you're talking about him.
All right, so that's, the woman's name just speaking there, I can't think of her name. They substituted her for Joy Behar. She may be familiar to you. She's not to me. She's a Hispanic news person or commentator who hates Donald Trump, and she hates him vitriolically 24 hours a day. So my understanding is that Judge Jeanine was not happy that they switched Joy Behar out for her, because Judge Jeanine didn't go there to talk about Donald Trump. She went to talk about her own book. And you'll notice, listen, having been in that situation so many times, you know, I have been, when I did television, I was in the most hostile, I never felt in danger, but I certainly felt hated by the audience and ridiculed and all the rest of it, whether it was Bill Maher or Phil Donahue or I was just on with any, all of them, the rabid haters of people like us, and I've had lots of experiences with this. It's not easy to go into that, but I always felt, and I don't think everyone should, to be honest with you, but Judge Jeanine managed to keep her composure and her beautiful smile and yet give people in that audience, maybe even on that panel, information they probably never heard. Keep in mind that FISA warrant was not even released when Judge Jeanine said to them that the FISA warrant was based on that tabloid dossier. And they, oh, you know that it was. You know that's not true. She says, yes, I do know it is true. And then, of course, now that's been released and we know it is true. All right, so she goes on, and Anna Navarro. There, thank you for the name, guys. All right, so she goes on to, she goes on, and you got to hear the rest of it on The View.
You want to talk about Donald Trump? You tell me what metric in this country is worse off. Unemployment is lower than it's been in 50 years. Minorities, Hispanics, African Americans have jobs.
Hate crimes are worse
off. And wait a minute, the GDP under Obama was barely one. We're going up to four. So you want to talk about hate?
Yeah, I'm telling you about
a metric.
I fought
for a law for hate crime.
I also think it's important, as we said, 89% of the Republican Party still supports him. He still has huge popularity in the country. And if Democrats don't get their you-know-what together, he's certainly going to get reelected.
Here's my question for you. Here's my question for you, because
Trump
you talk about...
I am not, Judge.
Did you just point at me?
Yes!
Listen, I don't have Trump derangement. Let me tell you what I have.
Okay.
I have a lot of... I'm tired of people starting a conversation with Mexicans or liars and rapists. I'm tired of people starting a conversation about this country. Listen, I'm 62 years old. There have been a lot of people in office that I didn't agree with, but I have never, ever seen anything like this. I've never seen anybody whip up such hate. I've never seen anybody be so dismissive. Clearly, you don't watch the show, so you don't know that I don't suffer from that. What I suffer from is the inability to figure out how to fix this. That's my issue. But one of the things that you talk about a lot, and I'm curious about it, is the deep state. How long has the deep state been there, and who's running it?
Well, I want to answer your question because you can't.
You had your
opening statement, which was how horrible it is that Donald Trump is talking about all of these people.
You know what I think is horrible? You said it's okay when people shouldn't be here and end up murdering
the children of American citizens.
You know what's horrible?
What's horrible
when the president of the United States whips up people to beat the out of people.
No.
Say goodbye.
All right, so I don't know if you caught the last part of it, but Whoopi says, "Say goodbye, I'm done," and they cut to a commercial and she leaves. And then, according to Judge Jeanine, after that, when she was leaving the building, that Whoopi came up to her and I don't have the exact words in front of me, so I want to be careful. It's just basically the F word, and then told her to get the blank out. And Jeanine said that she and her staff were sort of rudely escorted out of the building as though they were criminals. And Whoopi basically went back on the set and said, I never lose my cool like that. We usually treat all of our guests with respect. And she didn't apologize. As far as I know, we'll ask Jeanine on Friday if Whoopi actually apologized to her. I don't believe so. But the thing that strikes you is the irrationality, you know, the irrationality of the discussion. Judge Jeanine is, you know, I wish I had her recall of facts and stuff. She's amazing as she sat there and just, and I think Whoopi is not used to having people talk over her. She's usually the biggest, loudest voice on the panel, maybe besides Joy, but I imagine she could probably beat Joy. And I think to have Judge Jeanine go nose to nose with her and not back down was hard for her to take. And so she got a little irrational in her response, which is what the left always is. They don't have good reasons. They just speak from their bitter hatred of Donald Trump. I thought it was interesting when she said, Whoopi said, I've never seen anyone, like she's speaking of Donald Trump, whip up such hate. Which, what does she think she's doing? Just what do you think she's doing? Hatred toward Donald Trump and his supporters. I'm sure a lot of that happens on The View. I'm just guessing. You know what? Let's move ahead. We got a couple of more clips. Judge Jeanine then went on her show this Saturday night. And I want you at least to hear this. If we have time, we'll do at least one of these. These were her opening statements. This is her first time on the air after the incident.
There's a bigger issue at play here. The View is just a microcosm of what's going on in this country. The level of hatred toward the 45th president of the United States is beyond anything we've seen in American history. He was once an icon sought after for movies, television, by politicians on both sides of the aisle, sports figures, and yes, even the media. Then he ran for president. Now Donald Trump is the target of vitriol so palpable, it's simply frightening, and reason has become irrelevant. We can't have conversations anymore, and the ripple is national in scope. Family, friends, acquaintances can't even talk to each other. They remove each other from Facebook, and they change dinner and family gathering plans for the holidays depending on their politics. It's almost impossible to have a rational discussion that doesn't turn into a food fight. And for some, it's now even fashionable to threaten the president of the United States.
He talks how he wants to punch people in the face. Well, I'd like to punch him in the face.
They asked me, would I like to debate this gentleman? And I said, no. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the out of him.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
And that's not all. When a member of Congress can say this about people who work for and support the president, we have a real problem in America.
You have members of your cabinet that have been booed out of restaurants. Who have protesters taking up at their house. Who saying no peace, no sleep. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Not welcome anymore, anywhere.
All right, that's just part of her opening last week, and I just wanted you to hear that because, I was impressed with Janine's response because she could have been very defensive. She could have made this about herself, but she said very clearly, this is really not about me. It's much greater than that. And she's trying to diagnose what's going on in the heart of America that, it's true. Is it true in your life that friends and family are at odds in ways we have never seen in our lifetimes? I know of one woman whose family has close siblings have totally rejected her because she has conservative views, which I don't even think she's certainly not pounding the table on it. She just would say something occasionally. I think she posted a Facebook post on illegal immigration, and they won't have anything to do with her. And that's just one instance. I hear all the time from parents who tell me that their children have become so liberal after going off to college or whatever, their workplace, that there is just no contact or very little, that family holidays and meals are tense. And neighbors kind of pitted against each other, neighbors not speaking to each other because one has a, Make America Great Again sticker. And the other has, what's the other? Resist. I think speaking as a one who would wear the red hat, there's no one I wouldn't talk. There are people I wouldn't talk to. But I would love an exchange of views. I'd be happy to discuss the differences between us anytime. And, the Bible's, the principle on that is, come, let us reason together. Thus saith the Lord. We should be able to talk. Everyone has a right to feel the way they do, as frustrating as it might be. And I feel like good ideas can stand the test of a good debate. I've always felt that. If they can't, they're not worth holding. So Judge Janine again will be our guest on Friday morning. You won't want to miss that. All right, I hope you enjoyed it. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.